Hello, everyone, and welcome, and thanks for attending. As was said, my name is David Licata. I work for the UCLA Library in the Digital Information and Initiatives Department. What I'm going to do today is give you a brief history of where we were at, how we started, and how we were literally on paper about a year and a half ago for everything. We're talking accounts, just desktop inventory, software even. It was an interesting situation, and it was something that we needed to get up to speed on. So our department in the area is comprised of three teams. We have a learning and research technology support services area where we have 7 full-time staff. We have logistics, which takes care of purchasing, our CLIC students, which is our computer lab on campus. And we have a development department within our own area also, and those are our 3 Unix administrators. And then we have core operations, which I'm a part of. We have 7 full-time staff, which includes 6 students who rotate out every 1 to 2 years. So we have a lot of retraining to do with those 6 students, and we could have 0 to 3 at one time. They service our service desk, which is our help desk, and we really don't have a help desk. Everyone basically is chipping in at the time. Whatever comes up, we assign the tickets to everyone. So with that kind of explanation, I'm going to take you through exactly what happens when everything comes in. So what we're going to take over at this time, excuse the little thing there, I'm going to take you to how do we do this with basically 3 full-time people who run most of the stuff on the help desk when it comes to our students. You know, I may be doing something with a virtual environment for Citrix. I may be building a server at the time. Another guy may be, one of our other people may be out in the field taking care of the printers and hardware. And another one who I work with, he's taking care of patches and all type, making sure the virus scanner is working right for all the computers, Windows updates. So there's a lot going on there that we have different roles to play. Second part is I'm going to show you what happens when someone does have a problem. And as it says, if you don't have the skills, use your tools. And that's how we train our students for the most part. We don't have time to take them through a comprehensive training. Because think about it. You have somebody coming in that's going to leave in 1 to 2 years, and I don't expect them to be their life calling as a technical person, especially if their major is philosophy. So we tried to make it as simple as possible for them to get the job done and help us out and alleviate us from some stress. Then we have the software deployment. And I'm sure most of you who deal with computers, that's one of the most tedious things there is. You don't want to have to sit there and check for updates all the time or deploy to the stations. It's just a pain. After that, I've got something managers might like. I got reports. Unbelievable amount of reports, and that was one of our requirements. We needed some easy reports, and basically this company and the community that's there made it easy. They give you over 300 reports to start, and every other report I put in there, I've either modified one of their existing ones or I grabbed it off of some other website they have, mainly their form. And then what do you have for assets? What's in your inventory? At one point in time, we had absolutely no idea what we had. The only thing we could go off of was a label, and that label would tell us the year it was purchased and maybe the sequential number of how many computers that department had. So I'm going to show you what we required when we got this system and how it works. Then security. There's website security for this, and I'll explain to you at that time how I'm doing this webinar through that type of security. And then we'll take questions at the end. So I'll get right into it and get moving so we can get through this pretty quickly. All right. So what I'm going to show you is what we see in the beginning. When someone logs into LandSweeper, usually what happens is we get a call from anybody. It could be, and we don't deal with faculty or doctors. Sorry if this offends anyone, but it makes me really happy. So what we have, they call in, say, all right, I have a problem with my computer. And we say, all right, what's your name? And they'll give us their name, sometimes their first name or last name. We never ask for a username anymore. There's no need. So we say, all right, it's me. So I'm going to find out where I logged into last. So I pull up my name. Ah, I've got that as the last computer. Well, I know that's not correct. So we may have to ask them what's their computer number, and we can do that too. And when we do that, I'm taking you through our screens right now. We tell them, click on computer. At the bottom left-hand corner of the screen is your computer number. So I can see right here what it is. I'll go back and type in CTX V6-X07. And then from there, pulls up everything about the person. It pulls up what the computer is, who the last user is. We go through, we scan this real quickly. When was it last seen? When did it last scan? It was at 7 this morning. So if I need another scan and I want to update the information, I can just rescan it. From here, depending on what they need, I have a configuration page. I can show them and just about anything you want, the operating system information, processes, what fixes were put in place, what map drives the user has, which is absolutely a necessity for us. Everyone says, it's my iDrive or my K drive. Well, how do you know what that is? So we have the whole path in there. Hardware, what is it running on? What is the processor like? How much memory do they have? Are they having a memory issue, a leak? Any devices connected? Printers, tape and a modem. That's it. Scanned information. We do a lot of scanning. So, for instance, if I want to know if IIS is installed, I put a registry entry into that. If I want to know if we have a library application called Voyager, and I scan for those files to see what version it is and what files we put in place that we customize a lot. So you can see there's a lot, even down to the user info, who's logged in, how many, what local users, and what users are in the groups. So from there, someone says, I need a piece of software. And I say, all right, what software do you need? We don't allow our users with admin rights for the most part because we don't want to find any web servers or any type of torrent software on there. So I notice their flash is out of date. I also notice as I scroll through here, and you can see Java's way out of date on this computer, and go through and shows us everything there is, software that's not supposed to be there, either version or not that shouldn't be there. We can even see what license keys they have. Are they licensed for anything? Puts it all in place, and their antivirus. So we can check all that out at the same time. So one of the other things we do is they say, all right, I need a Flash update, or I need a Java update. And our student worker will say, all right, no problem. Deploy a package. And you can see we have a lot that we try to do. And we go through and find the right one and say Java. And click OK. Deploy this package. And by refreshing the screen, I have a deployment tab, and it starts to go through. So we're going to let this run, and then I'm going to take you through the rest of what we do. So that's basically what we do for support. We have a lot of action items on the side here. Let's say something's wrong and you need to reach that computer. I can go ahead and I can ping the computer, and they'll tell me, hey, I can't reach the computer. It's offline. No worries. We have other methods of getting to it. You can do a remote desktop to the computer, get to the services, remote processes. And then for on the server side, which I'm also a part of, we also add a server remote desktop protocol. For my Citrix environment, I put everything on the F drive, and I'm able to get to that quickly if that's a server. So that's how we take care of staff support. when it comes time for other areas, for instance, as in the deployment area, we go through a couple of things. When we deploy computers, everybody knows you got to rename the computer, join it to the domain, and if you have a staff environment, you really can't rename your computers correctly. Every computer is going to be different. If you're replacing computers, you can't do that information ahead of time. So we run a PowerShell script on our postclone, and then to make it simple for our students to go through and just basically press keys, I put in steps. They're all PowerShell. Install our antivirus scanner again, install Java, update Flash, and if it's a laptop, we run a PowerShell script to do a bunch of other things, and we can run it all as an administrator. And that's one of the greatest things and requirements we needed when we were looking for a system. Yes, there's a lot of them out there. Later on, I won't name them, but you'll know what they are automatically if you've done anything like this. So we've gone through and put in everything we could possibly think of. Anything in gray is not enabled, and we go through. I mean, we're doing Creative Suite 6. We did Box. You can do all the way down to, this is a pretty complicated one, you can make it as complicated as you want. As you can see here, I am checking for tons of stuff. There's a lot of system checks ahead of time and put in the order of how it should be and version checking so I don't reinstall something twice. And one of the cool things about this that made my life so much easier was I can put a schedule in place. So you can have, let's say you need 7-zip flash, with the basically put it in one time, update the time. I can have it hit every computer for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, after a scan, on a report. I run a report, and whatever computers are online, it will go out and immediately try to update those. It just makes life so much easier. It's a George Foreman grill, seriously. You set it, forget it, come back to your reports later on. And then you've got your logs. And you can see we've got some already, we're deploying stuff. And you can see how another installation's already in progress on this one. Someone's run a postclone script on it for the antivirus. It's done. I did Java, and that's here. And then yesterday, I installed a Citrix receiver for them. Oh, no, that was today. So that's how we go through that area. And then if we want to find out what's on our computers, I'm going to be upfront with you and tell you this was probably the scariest thing I ever saw. I almost had a heart attack on this. When you have an inventory system, which is clientless and it's going off the network, and you have one administrative account that can see everything on almost every computer, and you see this come up, and you see how much you have and how much you have to work with. And we're talking, this is 250 items of 4,955 pages. So you can see with three people and a team of students, we tackle this as much as we can. It's just all over the place. And I'd rather have this than where we were at before. Then, as I go along here, I'm going to show you how also this works out. If you have any kind of licensing you need to keep track of, we haven't used it yet, but we have purchase licenses, and we can track it if we want. We had spreadsheets in the past. We've also used KeyServer, and we also use LabStats. On the staff side, though, we are not currently using KeyServer in depth. We do have it. We have it on every computer, but we're not totally tracking everything, only when we need to get a report out of it. So as you can see here, as an experiment, a couple weeks ago, I entered Camtasia. We put the software in place, the order number, the price, and I just started going through and entering the information as maybe we want to see, but I'm leaving this to our logistics team. They're the ones who are going to say how it's going to be done. Our docs, I added even what we or how we ordered it. You can attach anything to it. Do that for the computers, any asset you have in place. Okay, so from there, I'm going to go into your assets. Based on everything you have in the system, it can go by name, IP address, the DNA, the fully qualified name. You can have your IP location, and I'll show you at the main page how that works. If you look, we have an asset type overview, Apple Macs, the camera, FTP servers, Linux, the location, that's one of the best features ever, monitors, I even put my Netscaler in there, the printers, tells you even when the toner's out, and I know there's a lot of other software that will do this, but for us, one of the requirements was I don't need training from an outside source, I don't need training from the vendor, I don't want to have to teach people all the time. I need people to see how to do this on their own, click around, experiment. Don't worry if you think you break it. We can fix it. We even have my servers and our whole team and who where they belong. My Citrix servers are in there. Then this list is dynamic. If I want to deploy to, let's say, our arts library, just the computers there, or all of our biomed or individually, I can put in different scripts to do that. And they're pretty easy. A lot of these, what you see here is just enter, done, leave it. So as you can see, the assets start to really add up. Every time someone puts something on the network, and if it touches the network between a certain period or whatever period you designate, any inventory system should pick it up immediately. It shouldn't need a client to work, and it shouldn't need anything else. There is one caveat, which we use another system for currently, and I'll show you how it does Macs. I use my computer and my parents' computer as a guinea pig. It will scan Macs as long as they're on your network. And the information it gives from the Macs is pretty darn impressive. I was kind of shocked at how much is on it. Operating system, what it is, the memory on my computer, even the servers, partitions I have, and the software, I had no clue Max had all this in place. It just was kind of scary as to what am I running on my own computer. And I'm a Windows person. And I know I'm going on and on about this. I want to show you the location area that we had. So with the locations, we had... Probably we came across this by accident because we have only really been experimenting with it for a little bit of time. You're able to put any type of JPEG into the system and call it a location. So, for instance, this is our area. If I click on it, it's a map. And from here, it dynamically updates the computers. You do have to put these in place, but as you can see, that's one of our students. She's on this computer right now. It's a laptop that's over in the cube next to me, and it gives me the information, and I can click on it and go there. Even our Canon, you can tell when it was last tried, last seen, first seen. Even if we had it on there, it would tell us the toner, give us access to the web configuration, and I can go right to the computer. And as you can see, a scan's in progress for this computer already. The other area that I wanted to show is what I think an inventory system should have right from the beginning. It should have a lot of reports and a easily configurable, you can sit there and play with it till your heart's content without having to stress out over it. Probably the best part of the whole system when it comes to reports is that the forum that this company has, people are constantly saying, I need a report for this, I need a report for that. If it doesn't exist, they create it. If it does exist, they let you know it exists, and then what they do is they tell you, here's the report anyway. Here's your SQL statement, put it in place. What you're not seeing right now is that in the report totals, whenever you go to the reports area, it starts to dynamically update. So you'll see it immediately go through and start retallying everything up. And when I talk about how many reports the system should have, that's easy to do. If we put this by created by, and we put as land sweeper, you can see I last changed this one. There's over 300 reports that are in the system by default. The best part was when my director had asked me for a report, and I was able to go right to the report, pull it up, export it, and then I was able to send it over. And I was able to do that for my cell phone. That was, to me, impressive. A system is broke. If I can't use it on my phone, a system is broke. And so far, that's been pretty good. So after the reports, we'll go into the configuration area. And I know I'm going through this. As you can see, there's a fully involved help desk system. If you look in Reddit and look up the company and what's going on, you'll see a lot of companies named, a lot of systems that are even used on campus, systems I wanted to get that we weren't able to purchase, and people talk up and down about them. And I felt pretty good that this was selected and we were able to get this in place. We don't use it. Haven't heard anything bad on it, but we have another system that we're using currently for our help desk tickets. But if you want, you can use it, and you can also set your roles, which we do. Put people in teams, which I've been experimenting with, and creating different types of user access. I even did a read-only, so somebody from UCOP would be able to get on here and see this ahead of time to see if it was worth it. As you can see, I put in help desk agents to mess around with in case we want to use it for something else, and everybody on our staff that should have access to it. There's also other kinds of great information that I was very surprised to see. One of them for some system administrators, which I started experimenting with two nights ago, was an event filter depending on what it is. And what kind of shocked me was how many event filters there are on this. If I add a filter, there's a lot, more than I wanted to see. And another thing, it concerned me, like, why do we have so many? I have no clue what a lot of this does, and I've been looking it up, but it looks great. That's all I can say. Especially, who has MySQL on their system? We don't want anyone having it locally. It's too much of a security alert. So after that configuration, we have a – so how do you access all this stuff? Well, you set up anything you want, practically. As you can see here, I've got my servers as a test I did the other night. None of our servers – we don't have a local administrator on LandSweeper, and that's just because of me. I want to make sure there's some other security features that I personally put in. And I update this with scanning credentials every so often, so it would go into the servers and then pull my scan, and I have it done at every day at 4 in the morning. Active Directory, users. You could have it remove computers from just LandSweeper if they are no longer showing up. Make them deactive. Keep them off reports. Email you if something changes. So we have a lot of subnets, and there's probably about 10 more maybe I need to add to this. And our VLANs are there, and we just start point and click. Really easy. When someone asks me, how do I do this, I go, there's a five-minute video on their website. Please go look at the five-minute video. It's a lot faster than if I were to explain it. And for the most part, that's how we get through everything on a daily basis. We don't have a lot of time to sit there and go through how everything works. There's no training necessary. People will yell at me from over the cube wall, hey, Dave, how do I do this? Go into LandSweeper, pull up their name. All right, see the computer? Click on it. All right, now go here. Take care of this. All right, that's it. And they even say, hey, can you fix this? Can you add this? And I'll be like, all right, no problem. we've made it so that anyone can go in, just about anyone, go in and configure stuff. It's been a dream for us. There was another system we tried to get, which didn't go through purchasing, and it would have been the same, same type of system. The interface was a little different, and the only major difference that system had was it had a client. The other ones that are used on campus here at UCLA, we can't afford them. They're just way too much for us, and they're too powerful, and we don't have, I think some of you might know, but we don't have three system administrators, and their sole job would be to administer that help desk and inventory system. We don't have that. So with that, I can tell you, as we look at the computer, and if we check this out, Java should be already installed, and it's probably not going to work. It says it's available, but I've already updated it to the latest one. So does anyone have any questions? I know I went through this really fast. The last presentation I did was an hour and a half, and then we had questions.
The conference has been unmuted.
Done?
Yep. Anyone have any questions?
Sure. Did you say that it's this is clientless? There's no client needed on the end devices?
Yes, it is clientless. And if I'm anticipating this correctly, our staff Macs will be using another system called JAMS. We're going to be doing administration through that for them. At some point, we will put the staff Macs into LandSweeper. All you have to do is just pop it on the network, and literally in less than 30 seconds, it's in the system. I know a lot of systems will do that. One of the other things we do is we have a loaner fleet of 500 Macs, and those we part of our post-clone procedures is to scan it into LandSweeper, and that's it. Our staff laptops are a different story. We have a script I put in place, a PowerShell script, that sets a scheduled task, and any time it sees an active Internet connection, 5 minutes later, it runs a specific little exe that the company gives you, and it will shoot it right up to the server without the without the user ever knowing it or slowing down their system. Anyone else?
I've got another one.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
How easy or difficult was the initial deployment?
It was pretty darn easy. So I wasn't the one put in charge of setting up the server, but I am also the administrator of the server. So the guy, Ed Trejo's his name, who set up the server, he put it in place. You literally execute the exe, sets it all up. I put IIS on it after the fact and transferred everything over to it and threw it behind our NetScaler so that we could access it from the outside world. And it was literally, I think, probably 10 minutes tops, and it immediately started scanning once we put in the credentials. And it was kind of scary, actually, how easy it was.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
You said that you, did I hear you correctly? You're not using LandSweeper for your trouble ticket management?
No, we're not. No, we're not. We have another system we've been using for quite a while that we're sticking with it. And
so, are you, maybe you could comment on what, if anything, do you do to integrate inventory with your trouble ticket?
The other system, well, our students or staff, we end up updating the tickets with the computer name we associated in there. The system at this point in time doesn't have the ability, the version we're on currently, doesn't have the ability to import that type of data into it. LandSweeper does have APIs, as most systems do, so you could technically take the information out or go both ways or connect the databases in some way. Anyone else?
May I ask what help desk ticket existing you do use right now?
We're transitioning. We're on JIRA, and we're transitioning to JIRA Service Desk probably in the next couple weeks. That's okay. What we use currently.
Thank you.
So I will add this to it. We looked at a lot of different systems over the years. We were on, I can't even remember the name, it's been so long and they're out of business now, but we were on about three different help desk systems, but nothing had inventory like this. They claimed to have it. They claimed to be deployment systems, but the campus even has the free one that we looked at three different times, and I personally didn't use it. I would always go to the two system administrators for it because it was too complicated. I needed something quick and easy, and I didn't want to have to spend time to learn it. And so when we ended up looking at help desk systems, it came down to two of them. And the first choice, we weren't able to secure. And this was our second choice, and this happened because of a few other people. One of our guys, Garrett Romero, he ended up, along with a former employee, Heidi, finding this out of nowhere, and another guy, Zach. They found this, and because we were freaking out. What were we going to do? We don't know what's out there, and we're getting too big. And then we were in danger of losing this system after a year because we couldn't get it to go through purchasing, and then SHI gave us a quote for it after a period, and Gabby, part of our logistics team, she was able to make that happen. And I can tell you right now, if we didn't have this, there's no other system we could use that could do as much as what it does. It's not a silver bullet, I will say that. This isn't the end-all, be-all program, but this is what we use at this point in time to get our jobs done a little bit more efficiently than we have in the past. Well, I should say a lot more.
Are you supporting patch and update management in Windows 10?
You know what? For our IT staff, we are. Our IT staff currently, we're the only ones that have Windows 10. We don't have a full image of it that we deploy to staff. But I personally throw anything I test, I throw it on my Windows 10 computer first. So I'll throw everything out, and if I find it needs something different, then I will go ahead and do that. We it does support it. In fact, and this is mine, 64-bit. Where it's at, everything on it, the different drives, my OU, and everything going on with it. So, yeah, it scans everything into it, and you can deploy. Okay, anyone else? Okay, thank you for attending. I really appreciate it. The whole thing started with a conversation on campus. Is I wanted to find out what everyone else is doing and how they're doing it. Because at UCLA, each department is basically autonomous. And I didn't know what anyone else was doing. And we have another office right next to us. And there's not much collaboration that I've come across over about 13 years here at UCLA, but I saw a lot more collaboration when I worked for WebMD. Even at a pharmacy as a technician, I saw more collaboration. So I wanted to find out what everyone was doing and see if I could steal their ideas and plagiarize how they're doing stuff and make connections that way. The whole thing is to make our jobs a lot easier and make it so faculty, staff, and students can get to what they need without any interference as much as possible. I want to thank you guys again, and in the future I might have something different, way different. So, thank you.
Thank you.